The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into Highway to Health. I am your host, David Sears, and today we're going to talk about a very different aspect of health. People tend to focus on physical health when they talk about their health, but often leave out their mental health. There are many aspects to mental health, including well-being, stress management, and creativity. The creative element is often forgotten as an outlet for mental health. According to Gavin Clayton, the executive director of the leading mental health and arts charity Arts and Minds, the organization studied participants experiencing stress, depression, and anxiety who partook in activities such as sculptures, oil painting, and printmaking over 7 years. The study revealed a 71% decrease in feelings of anxiety, a 73% fall in depression, with around 76% of participants saying their well-being increased, and 69% felt more socially included. Art helps to soothe the troubled mind. Today we are joined by two men who not only have multiple hip-hop albums and singles, but a great foundation helping the youth of Birmingham express themselves artistically through hip-hop beats, breakdancing, and tagging. The Knowledge, Rhythm, and Understanding, or KRU, is a 501c3 that is an educational initiative empowering youth by teaching them the four core elements of hip-hop through peace, love, having fun, and helping express themselves in a positive manner that helps develop them mentally, physically, emotionally, and of course, financially. It is my honor to introduce Shahid Tawheed and DJ Supreme. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Peace.
Greetings.
So you two have been a hip hop duo. I got to know Supreme through my work back at Cumulus when he ran with Hot 107.7, and he told me he was a rapper. I was like, cool. Do you have anything I can listen to? And he shared with me what he's created. And through Supreme, I got to know Shahid. I've been to a concert, their record album dropping at CSIC record. And it wasn't CSIC. What record store was it? It was CSIC. Okay. It was CSIC. Yeah. So, I mean, they're amazing to see in person. They're world famous. They've opened for Jurassic 5, who, if you know anything about hip hop, is one of the best groups of all time. So guys, how y'all doing? What's going on with y'all right now?
Peace, man. Thank you for having us. Better than we deserve, obviously. And great to be on this podcast with you. And we just, you know, continue busy doing KRU, making music and teaching. That's what we do on the regular.
Yeah. Just doing the work. How we like to refer to it. We are out here actually doing the work, and we aspire to inspire. And, that is our focus. That is our mission.
Now, y'all come up with all original music. Supreme, you do the beats. How do you get the idea for a beat? Do you listen to Shahid's lyrics and then come up with the beat? Or does the beat come and Shahid comes up with the lyrics to match the beat?
Well, it's a very, it's not as detailed a process as one would think. I produced the music here. And I'll send Shahid a reference instrumental of it, and more than likely, 10 times out of 10, he'll have something for it, you know. And oftentimes, especially here lately, with the concepts that we've been coming up with, we do things now kind of, you know, specific to certain beats, and because, you know, right now that is a part of our mission. We are pretty much doing music that expounds on various topics, and we partner with various organizations with KRU, and oftentimes we find that music is inspired by our interactions with those organizations. So, case in point, with UAB's Arts and Medicine, we have a song about arts and medicine. We have a song about air with Take Flight. With Shahid can actually expound a little bit more on that, but that's you know about learning to fly. You know, airplane becoming aspiring airplane pilots. You know, it runs a gamut. It's you know we have a wide range of topics that we expound upon, and like I said, Shahid can explain further.
Well, yeah, to veggie back off of what DJ Supreme was saying, what we typically do a lot of times, sometimes the lyrics come first and then I tell him the concept and then the beat is made. And in the early days, it was the beat was made first and then I would have something for the beat. So like lately, it's been a variation of both. And what we've been doing the last 2 to 3 years with our foundation is we've been coming up with songs and partner with organizations that have great causes. So like he said, Hearts of Medicine is one. We did a Life as a Farmer song, which is about farming. We did a song about aviation, which is, I went to school with the principal of the aviation high school. And so he's always wanted to do aviation. So this was a partnership where I just was like, yo, you know, let's just talk about the importance of aviation in the school and the concept and that subject. And then recently, Knowledge of Shelf, the library song. And so we've done so many events at the library the last couple of years. So it just made sense from an educational standpoint to do a song about appreciation of the libraries. So, you know, lately, and then we did the song Skates and Crates, which is about the similarities between skating and hip hop. And so that's what we've been doing here recently, education. Hip hop and partner organizations with great causes that, you know, are open to these type of collaborations.
Now, the creative process with your hip hop is amazing. You do, like you said, Knowledge of Shelf, the current single for the Birmingham Public Library. But you also do fun albums like The Art of Throwing Darts with yes. Boomin' in Your Jeep, which is my favorite song y'all do. So
thank you.
You're welcome. It amazes me. I can sing okay, but I have to have a melody that I know. I just can't come up with something. So the creative process of coming up with a beat and then lyrics that make sense and aren't just throwing stuff against the wall to see what goes. How long does it typically take y'all to do a song?
Not long at all. And it's because DJ Supreme makes it very easy for me to write. He's like I've always told him, he's one of, you know, if not the greatest, he's one of the greatest. I hold him in the same regard as I hold some of my favorite producers. And I put him on that same list with Dr. Dre, Dilla, you know, Pete Rock and Premier and people like that. And I've even told him that in some cases I feel like he's better than some of them. And that's no cap. When I'm talking, you know, I try to always speak from the heart, but because I've heard his production and been rocking on his production for over 2 decades, I know what we've done and I know what we have in the arsenal. And I've also seen our music stand the test of time with some of the greatest hip hop groups in the world. I've seen us go on stage and be right there with them. It's no drop off in the show. So, you know, that's a testament to like just our process. He's a very great beat maker and a producer. And what I've always tried to do is complement with skill, with you know, with concepts and topics to make sure I complement what's being made.
Supreme, does the lyrics of Shahid just make it so easy to come up with the beats? So you can hear the beats as you read the lyrics or have him just freestyle to you and you figure out everything going on?
Well, to be honest, Shahid, when we first met, what impressed me the most was the fact that Shahid has notebooks and notebooks and notebooks of rhymes. So, you know, I can, you know, approach him with some music, with a beat, and, you know, right then and there, boom, he'll have something for it. So, you know, it's a very easy process, as he explained. It's a very easy process, you know, and I couldn't think of a better person to work with, because it's proven. I've worked with him, like you said, for over 2 decades. So I couldn't think of a better partner to have.
All right. So now we have to ask the big question. How did a man from Michigan and a man from Bessemer meet up and form one of the greatest hip hop duos we have seen?
Wow. you want to go? Cause that's a long story.
Yeah. That's a great question. Yeah, I could do it. I'm from Fairfield.
Fairfield, I'm sorry, not Bessemer.
And so, no problem. It's the same area, though. So DJ Supreme, he had a event here called the Eargasm around 1999 to 2004. And that event was a weekly and then turned into a monthly event. I was in high school at the time that it started. And then my last year in high school, going into my college year, I wasn't old enough to get in, but I was a part of a group called the Unseen Ummah, and my partner in the group, Rasul, was in one of Supreme's groups, the Metaphysics and the Eargasmatics. And so I was invited over to a session at Supreme's house, and then got busy on one of the songs. I had wrote the hook to a song, and my brother Rasul was so gracious to let me do a verse, and then he spit the hook that I wrote to the song, so I was able to get a verse. And so from there, then we started performing regularly at the Eargasm. And then shortly after that, I took a small break in Detroit, and Preem went to Detroit as well. He had, like, he took a hiatus from Birmingham for a minute and traveled. And when he came back, I had dropped an album called the Scholar Warrior album, which is the first solo album I ever worked on. However, me and Supreme had already did 2 tracks in 2003 and 4 that we had worked on, where he was the producer, I was the MC. And what ends up happening is that I put one of those songs on the album, and it was that song. You know, people always liked that song, and so then after that album came, he produced, he executive produced an album called Health, Wealth, Knowledge, Yourself. That he and I put out. We partnered to put that album out. And that album was the first time we worked with Akil the MCT from Jurassic 5. Then we came back and followed it up with Scholar Warrior Remix album. That was in 2009, 2010. And then in 2012, we were always performing as Shahid and DJ Supreme. But then we officially made it a group in 2011, 2012, when we rocked with Calm Vest for our first release, Knowledge, Rhythm, and Understanding. And then we've been Shahid and DJ Supreme since that time officially. But that's how it all kicked off, was from the event that DJ Supreme had called the Eargasm.
That's cool. I did not know that. Now, When did y'all start the KRU Foundation?
KRU emerged... We actually had it on paper. We sketched it out as a curriculum. What would you say, Shahid? 10 years prior to us actually mashing the gas on it. Would that be accurate?
We put it on paper in 2009, 2010 on paper. Yep. As a curriculum.
Yep. And then when the pandemic happened, then we felt that it was time for us to go ahead and make it a thing. So the official founders of KRU on paper are Shahid, DJ Supreme, and Akil the MC from Jurassic 5. And from that, that's how we were able to springboard KRU from that. And we began partnering with organizations shortly after that.
Now, you teach them the 4 core elements of hip hop. What are the 4 core elements of hip hop?
Some people say five. Some people say five, but we, because we are knowledge, rhythm, and understanding, we leave off one, which is knowledge. But knowledge, MC, DJ, breaking, breakdancing, and graffiti tagging. Those are the four elements.
Okay.
And then knowledge as well.
Now, I've seen pictures of the workshops y'all have done, and it is multicultural. It is multi-ethnic. It's a bunch of people come together to have a great time and teach these kids. So how can someone set up one of these events if they're looking to do that in their neighborhood or in their community?
Well, we do have a website, which is kruhiphop.com. We also are very active on our social media platforms, on Facebook and on Instagram, both of those platforms. It's knowledge, rhythm, and understanding on both of those. And we often get people who are interested in working with us from those platforms. And we just set it up from there.
Where do y'all, do y'all teach the tagging yourself, or do you have someone that come in to teach the tagging?
We have a graffiti artist.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with him?
The eargasm. We've known him since the eargasm.
Yeah, the thing with the eargasm is that that all the elements of hip hop were represented, and so most of the people that attended were practitioners of the art form. So it wasn't difficult at all, and oftentimes people find us. We have a graffiti instructor. We have a breakdance instructor as well. We all emerge from the eargasm.
When you teach kids, and I've seen videos of it, that you start teaching them how to make a beat and then something clicks, does that bring you immense joy to see them start to click with all the beats and creating everything that's something that's so dear and near to you?
Yes, it is very inspiring. That's one. Like I said, our mission is we aspire to inspire, and so excuse me. When someone does finally get it, of course it makes us proud, and we just hope that they're able to take some semblance of that out into the world. Whether they decide to become a practitioner of the art form or not. But that's the one thing about KRU is that we let the kids come into their own. We let them come into whatever it is. We let them find their strengths. We concentrate on their strengths. So when we see a kid that one that gravitates more towards graffiti art because they love to draw, or they say they love to dance, and they'll gravitate more towards our breakdance instructor, or you'll find especially kids that have a musical background, or I take piano, or I study this or I study that. You'll find out that they gravitate more towards the beat making and the DJing. And, that's the one thing about this is that we strive to let the kids be hands-on on equipment that the professionals use. We try to make sure that they actually get a chance to get, to be hands-on with actual turntables, with actual beat machines. We start them out on the drum. We have djembes, and so we let them gravitate towards their strength, and then they go off and out into the stratosphere with it.
Shahid, when you start to work with the kids to work on their lyrics, do you give them a topic, or do you just tell them to write from the heart?
It depends, but sometimes some of the kids that this is their first time ever writing. And so, and ever even trying to write hip hop bars, So a lot of times it was a song. It's funny. DJ Supreme will know the song. It's a song by NWA, actually, and how ironic this is. But I take a piece of something that was said in that song when it comes to MC, and it's, they had a song called Something Like That. I don't advise people to listen to it, but in the song, there's a song where Dr. Dre says something about original. He said, and he talks about being an MC. He says, you talk about who you are, what you got, and where you're from, basically, in the sense. So what I do as an MC myself, it's easier when you start off rhyming about things that you like or things you like to do, because that's the interest anyway. You know, it's like when you start off, you're expressing yourself. Me, as a kid growing up, my mother always made me keep a journal. So my topics was always about myself and my day and what I did and what I wore and what I ate and, you know, what I enjoyed and what I liked about the day. So I kind of used that template of growing up, that template to, and it engages the kids like, okay, you're talking about you and what you like to do. So what I teach them is like, look, if you ain't excited about nothing else in life, be excited about you and what you got going, because it's going to make you feel better when you express yourself talking about it. No pun intended, another NWA reference. but you know, that's pretty much how it goes. And so you end up finding out all of these different things that the kids like. So I just, what I help them do, I help them formulate how to write the bars with timing to a beat that we made in the workshop. Because this is how you keep it all original. We make the beats and we write the rhymes in house. So it is a original masterpiece of production that we're trying to teach our kids, because we don't do cover songs. In hip hop, cover songs is not, you know, that's not something that is typically done. It is frowned upon. So we come with original every time we write something. So those lyrics that you hear with kids write, those are their lyrics. All I did was just help them formulate it and help them with timing and rhyming.
And to build on what Shahid just explained, we also challenge our students by saying, hey, we want you to formulate this rhyme. We want you to write this rap without cursing. And so that challenges them, because oftentimes, especially now in this age, most of the hip hop that the kids get is riddled with curse words. So we say, hey, if you take out all the curses, okay, what can you use to fill that up? You know, what can you use instead of curses? Okay, so now, okay, cool. Talk about your day. Talk about your family. Talk about what the things that you like. What's your favorite snack? What's your favorite, you know, what's your favorite cartoon? What's your favorite, you know, we let them know that the curse words is just a fraction, a minuscule fraction of what you can rap about. There are many things and that, you know, that provokes thought in them. And they're, you know, then they're up for the challenge.
That was something I was going to mention, because your hip hop records, I know they're not really record. You still make records, but for the most part, people listen to it digitally now. They're very clean. They're safe for the family. They're lyrically inspiring. Why did you decide to go that route instead of, pardon my French, but bitches and hoes, you know, which seems to be most of rap nowadays?
Well, that's an easy one. That's an easy one. Coming from someone, unfortunately, when I was at a younger age, I used to use some of the worst words of all time and got in trouble for a lot in school a few times, and wrote some songs in school that I got in trouble for. But that was being influenced by one of the groups that I mentioned earlier, just listening to that. And, I had uncles and stuff, cousins who listened to it. So I was exposed to it. And, you know, when you're young, you think that's cool. OK, but then for me, I had a lifestyle change about 16 years old. And then things started to become a challenge, you know, a personal life where I challenged myself to be better. It was always about getting better. And one of my teachers told me that profanity is the language of the inarticulate. And then I started thinking, too, my mother was an educator, and I wouldn't use these words around my mother. And I have, and then at that time, also shortly after, I had a child, and I wouldn't use those words around my child. I wouldn't use that around my grandmother or my aunties or my uncles, because of the way I was raised. So then it became a matter of being principled and just saying, you know what? I can use better words. I don't have to use profanity to be effective. And because it's like this, what's in your heart ultimately comes out on your tongue or on your limbs, your actions. Like, so that's very key when I'm writing. I have to be responsible for what I'm saying, because I'm held accountable for it one day, what I'm saying, what I'm producing, what I'm putting out there. So for me as a person first, it was a challenge to come up with better concepts and words to use. And then as an artist, it's like, that's one of the things, man, family oriented. When hip hop first started in park jams, it was a family thing. People would come together, see the breakers, see the DJs, see the MCs on stage rhyming. And nobody was in those circles, you know, using profanity like that out in the open at these jams. It was family fun oriented material. So hip hop, rap has lost that aspect of it. And I think that it has to get back to, you can still be cool, effective without curse words. Some of my favorite MCs barely cursed in their day. Like Rakim barely cursed when he first came out. He didn't have to use cuss words. He was against having to curse. And so I took a page from that. You know, KRS-One in the early days, same thing. You know, people like to talk about Will Smith, but Will Smith was, you know, in that day, great MC.
All right, spitter.
Yeah, he was a great spitter, and he didn't curse. So I think kids especially, and then parents secondly, once people want their kids to feel safe. So when you're doing an art form, like I said, I was raised by family-oriented event, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, father. And even though if they curse, you couldn't curse because you were a child and they didn't want you cursing. And most people don't curse around their mothers and fathers anyway, because there's repercussions with that. And so for me as an MC, it's just something that has always stuck with me. Since I was about 16 years old, when I stopped using profanity.
I trip off this. This is the lane that we decided to stick with and to concentrate on. There is actually Billboard charts that are devoted to clean hip hop. A lot of people don't know this, but There are actually Billboard charts that are devoted strictly towards clean hip hop. It's a clean hip hop chart. Shahid and I have topped it a couple times. It's a good lane to be in. It's a good lane to be in. I always tell people don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself at all.
As we wrap things up, because I know Shahid is being very gracious with his time. He's in a very stressful situation with his parents. We will keep them in our prayers. And I know how important your faith is to both of y'all. Y'all have made references to Allah in a couple of your songs. And did that kind of make you want to represent your faith as a clean, fine, upstanding member of society when you do your hip hop records? Does that play into it at all?
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons for sure. That's the most important thing for me as a person, as a human being, and then my family. And so, you know, being Muslim, you know, there's a standard that we have to live by. We don't have a choice. And some days, you know, are better than others for some, but it's a choice that, you know, it's the standard by which we are commanded to live by, how we speak, how we represent ourselves, how we are in the community, how we eat, how we deal with people. Even if we don't agree on some things as a human being, I still have to treat you with respect, with the utmost respect. I have to. So as a father myself, I would want the same thing that I want for my children and for someone else's child. I want my child to feel safe. I want your child to feel safe. I want your child to feel protected. So it's the same concept. So yes.
Yeah, and to build on that, you know, we can only be accountable for ourselves. I can't account for what this Muslim rapper does or that Muslim rapper does. You know, in the end, I'm going to be questioned about my actions and about my words and about my thoughts and about the places that I've gone and about, you know, the things that I think about. So for me, you know, I have to, you know, basically put it out there like that, you know, clean living, you know, clean music, you know, I have, cause I'm accountable for that. I have to be accountable for that. You know, like I said, I, you know, in the end, I'll be questioned about it, you know, and you don't want to give wrong answers. All right. You want to, as I always put it, you want to stay on the right side of history. So that's just how I see it. You know, and I'm proud to be in this lane. You know, I'm proud to be in this lane. You know, so.
Well, gentlemen, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Shahid.
No, it's a great lane. It's a great lane to be in. Because again, we are responsible people. And being responsible people lets me know that I can't, even if I feel some way a day or so, I can't just do and behave how I want to behave, because there's repercussions, there's accountability, there's a responsibility. So as an artist, I can't give, as a person and as an artist, because, you know, I don't want to go too deep, but the same, it's just because I'm an artist, I'm not stripped of responsibility. Just because I'm an MC doesn't strip me from the responsibility of being responsible and accountable for what I'm saying, what I'm putting out there, what I'm feeding people, how I'm feeding people. And then the other part is trying to be, you know, a representation of that to the best of the ability that I can be. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means you're progressing. And when you're progressing, you understand that this is a life journey. And you're getting better. You're trying to get better every day. And if you make a bad decision, the door of coming back is always open. So these are concepts that we have to try to teach our kids. Like when they're feeling a certain way, you don't get too down on yourself. As long as you're living, you have another shot to get things correct.
Positive message to end on. Gentlemen, how can people follow you on social media, and where are your albums available?
You can follow us on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram at Knowledge, Rhythm, and Understanding. We're also on as Shahid and DJ Supreme. And then our website is kruhiphop.com. And our records, you can find links there. And you can find physical copies at places like Seasick Records, right here in town. I think Renaissance has some of our stuff as well. So
Guys,
and type in Shahid and DJ Supreme. Just, you know, type in Shahid and DJ Supreme. Type in KRU, Knowledge, Rhythm, Understanding, and I guarantee you something about us. will pop up. Hopefully good.
There's nothing but good. There's nothing good about y'all out there.
The third installment of, I wanted to leave on this note. I want to invite all of your listeners to check out the third installment of the History of the Eargasm documentary docuseries is out now on YouTube. It just dropped. You can check that out on YouTube. Also, our new song, Knowledge of Shelf, which is the library song. It is available now, and the video will be dropping tomorrow.
Nice. Yes. We're recording this right now on Wednesday, August 19th. So I'm about to post that tonight. So you'll be able to find it on YouTube, on their YouTube channel, Shaheen Supreme YouTube, Shaheen DJ Supreme YouTube channel tomorrow. So that'll be a great thing to look for. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on. And I hope to see you all perform again shortly.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you for always being you, because you are one of the people who always share, repost, and promote what we're doing. And it's not taken for granted. So thank you for being you and what you do, because it's people like you who keep what we do alive. You help keep it alive.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I told you earlier off air, it's easy with music so quality. I mean, it's a great stuff to listen to. It's fun to listen to. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. I've been your host, David Sears. That was Shaheed and DJ Supreme, and this has been Highway to Health.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.